All right, all right. We are back. We are live, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, on the air Wednesday night. Live, Rat Pack Radio, WRPR. And we are in the second hour of the show. And we're about 30 minutes away from going live on the video feed here. And where's my remote control? We got the hockey on here. We also have AEW, so I'm going to turn the AEW real quick. Actually, we don't, because we have baseball. Maybe I turned to the wrong channel. Oh, yeah, I did turn to the wrong channel. My bad. All right, so, yeah, we do have AEW. Had a conversation with another friend. I'm always having conversations. And it was a wrestling conversation. And MJF apparently has walked out on AEW. And personally, when you hear of players like walking out and doing stuff like that, there's always some sidebar gimmick that's going on. Sometimes it's part of the storyline, and those guys are, you know, taking time off, you know, little vacation. Sometimes they're just really leaving. So this is something that I've been hearing, and apparently MJF did walk out, and suppose he is headed to, actually, before I start, like, you know, blabbering my mouth, let me go to my bookmarks here and go to my source. Where is it? All right, so let's go to here, latest news. Okay, so all right, so MJF walked out, and MJF rips Tony Khan WWE signings and seething promo on WWE Dynamite. So this must have just happened. So I'm on Wrestling Incorporated, WrestlingInc.com. And I'll throw this link here in the Rat Pack Sports Show Facebook group. I'll throw it in there in the page itself. So you guys get, you know, head over there and check it out if you want to. And see. What MJF is talking about. But what I don't like is, you know, AEW got this thing going, right? They came up, and they got it going heavy real quick, right out of the box. And they done a great job. And now that they done such a great job, you start seeing WWE kind of cherry-picking off of some of these guys. We've seen Corey, what is his dude name? Cody Rhodes. Hold on. Is that my man? Darby? Okay, so where Darby Allin is fighting, so where is Sting? Oh, they done broke him up. What? I don't see Sting. Let's see if I can see him. But the Hardy Boys are back. I like that. And they sell out arenas. Who is this dude? He look like a big Samoan, whoever this dude is. Is that Christian too? Is that Christian? Yeah, that is Christian. When did he come over? So you got the Hardy Boys. You got Christian. Hold on, wasn't Christian just in WWE? Because I could have swore him and Edge was in a match not that long ago. Yeah, Sting isn't fighting, so I don't know what's going on. Oh, super kick. Oh, another super kick. That dude kind of looked like Shawn Michaels. Who is this dude? Red Dragon. Oh, he missed him. And Beast Boy. Yeah, he remind me of Shawn Michaels. I never can remember his name. All right, let's get to it. MJF comments here. So, okay, so Maxwell Jacob Freeman, I guess that's, oh, MJF, gee, I had to think about that. Made an appearance on the show, delivered a long emotional promo about what happened on Double or Nothing. See, I got to remember those pay-per-views because I always miss them. And I could get them anytime I want them, but I always miss them. So I got to start remembering the pay-per-views so I can check them out, because apparently a lot happened at this last Double or Nothing pay-per-view. This is when I initially started hearing about MJF walking out, and it was last night. Well, no, not last night, but Sunday night during the pay-per-view. So let's go into this article. I'm going to go into this article. It's not that long, so I'm going to go ahead and read this thing off for you guys. So he explained that he was in a lot of pain following the savage beating Wardlow gave him during the pay-per-view, but that's not important because the people just want to hear him talk. Freeman then pointed out that Big Warner Media Discovery executives were in the audience. I don't even know who them dudes are. Who are they? So his words have extra impact. He mentioned that Khan has wanted a meeting for a while now, but it's too late for that. He creates memorable moments week after week on AEW, but he still feels like he gets no respect. Bro, how do you not get respect? You in the, like, main event matches. I don't understand. This could be part of an act, so I'm going to just keep reading. He still feels like he gets no respect. He is adamant that nobody's dishing out the numbers he does online and in the ratings, and he's a person who actually makes people watch and feel something. Now, I don't watch AEW for MJF. I mean, he's a good wrestler, but there's a lot of other guys that I like. I tune in because the whole act is just a lot better than what we see on the other side. So, again, this could be a knack. And yeah, he's a good wrestler. He's young. He's got a really good gimmick. I like his gimmick a lot. And when you have, who is this? Another wrestler? Oh, they got a new wrestler, Athena. Who is that? She looked like one of WWE wrestlers. 15-year veteran. Yeah, she probably was over there. All right, so MJF is expected to hit Grand Slam, and he does it on a weekly basis. He has to perfect, as he's the only guy capable of carrying a company. No, 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 you're not. He thinks it's funny the crowd is cheering him win all weekend. They are calling him unprofessional and judging him from their phones. MJF tells the fans they don't know Jack and their opinions are as fickle as they've always been. He says the fans are taking it for granted, just like the man in the back is, Tony Khan. He questions Tony's resistance to pay the man who has been busting his behind the whole time. Man, that's a lot of guys there that's been paying their dues since AEW came about. I would say people like John Moxley, before Cody Rhodes left, Chris Jericho, who's been there from day one, has been busting his behind. Actually, Jericho helped put you over, dude. Uh-oh, Cargill. Yeah, but Jericho helped put this man over. Nobody knew, people knew of MJF from his past. But, when you fighting against, notable wrestlers week in and week out, he had that huge feud with Chris Jericho. Jericho helped put him over and get his name out there to where he is now. Now he's, more of a household name and people love to hate him. He has a great gimmick. He has a great gimmick. And even when I'm watching, he does a great job of making me not like him. And I know it's just entertainment, but that's what it's supposed to be. So nobody's doubting what he's doing at all. Nobody's doubting what he's doing at all. I think this is all part of a gimmick because they're getting ready to surprise the wrestling world with some type of addition or some type of matchup. What is going on here? Now we got the Divas. Cargill got to be like 6 feet tall, 6'1". She's a beast. Who is this dude? Man, that girl half her size. She'll stomp on him. They need to stop. All right, so he hoards all the money and gives it to all the ex-WWE guys who can lace his boots, who can't lace his boots. MJ asks Tony if he would like him better if he was an ex-WWE guy. He thinks he shouldn't have the power to run a wrestling company. He should be behind the guardrail like a fan he is. He doesn't want to wait until 2024 to wrap up his AEW comeback contract. He wants Tony to fire him now. Yeah, it's a gimmick. If you're gonna quit, bro, you can just walk off and be done with it. I mean, You could just walk off and terminate your own contract and go to WWE. If that's what you want, Tony Khan ain't really got to fire you. Vince McMahon won't have a problem taking one of the company's best wrestlers, one of the company's main attractions. I mean, he's a main act. That dude fights in main events every single week. What I'm reading from this article here, I think it's more of, it may be some truth to it, but I think it's more of an act or more a part of the storyline. He screams it because, in WWE for years, you had Stone Cold, Steve Austin, and Vince McMahon that feuded for a long time. Him, The Rock got it. The Rock and Vince McMahon got out that. The Rock and Shane McMahon got out that. Shane McMahon and Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, So you had these feuds within WWE where the company owner was involved. Now, the difference is I don't see Tony Khan, going that deep into it. He may just stay behind the scenes and let it be what it is, unlike Vince, who actually was, he'll get in the ring and take some licks for the company. I don't think Tony Khan is in that kind of shape. So what is going on? Hold on, bro. Becky Lynch says he matched to Chris. Okay. I'm missing something here. He also screamed into the camera that Tony Khan is a effing mark before getting mics cut off and the show goes to a commercial. Commentators not sold on what happened when the show returned from break and AEW Twitter account completely avoided posting clips from the segment. Again, it sounds real, but again, I've been watching wrestling for a long time and you can make it all look real and it still be part of the act. So, it was also noted from fans in the building that CM Punk ran down into the ring after the segment, but MJF rolled out of the ring and escaped through the crowd. If you want to read the latest updates on the surroundings of MJF and AEW, they're available in this link, and the link is in the article. Okay, so that is that. Now, I got another article here. Because this is something I didn't know. I don't know. Okay, just making sure, because I know Chris Jericho is still over in AEW, but Becky Lynch is in WWE, and it said something about Becky Lynch sends a message to Chris Jericho after WWE Raw. So let's go here. This article is also on WrestlingInc.com. Let's see, who's it written by? Let me give credits. By Sai Mohan. All right, these are not long articles, so I don't mind reading them and going into details on these things. So I like Becky Lynch. She's not bad. She's kind of got that Conor McGregor vibe a little bit. All right, so Becky Lynch is apparently a fan of AEW star Chris Jericho. And new sports entertainer persona. While on commentary for Asuka and Bianca Belair match on Monday Night Raw, she referred to herself as a wizard, possessing superhuman powers. Fans on social media immediately perceived it to be Lynch making a reference to Jericho, who in recent weeks has thrown fireballs at Eddie Kingston and others in AEW because he happens to be a wizard. Jericho had used the line, "I'm going to throw a fireball at your face because I'm a wizard," before hurling fireballs at random people backstage. Yep, and then it says, I can see what they're doing here with Warlow. I can see exactly what they're doing here with Warlow, but we'll wait to see. But after the Raw event went out the air, Lynch did confirm that she was referencing Jericho in the commentary. So she was, in fact, indeed referencing Jericho. All right, so let me get this thing here set up and ready to go. All right, so we're gonna get this thing here started because we are going live on the video stream, and I want to bring everybody in and say welcome everybody who is getting ready to join us on the stream on the Rat Pack Radio live video stream. And we have been on for a little minute. And appreciate everybody tuning in. So we are here. We are live on the video stream. I got AEW Wrestling going in the background. I'm kind of flicking back and forth between that and AEW. That and the Rangers and Lightning game. This thing is second period, 9 minutes left, 2-3 Rangers. So I guess we're going to be in a little bit of a high scoring affair. It was 1-1 at the end of the first, so we've seen 3 goals get scored. And, you know, one thing I don't like, and I'll say this before I go back into my discussion here on the wrestling mode. Lightning don't do a good enough job of hitting people when they're in front of Vasilevskiy, so Vasilevskiy can get a clean look at the puck. I've never liked it. And when they play against sloppy teams or when they play against teams that are grimy, that get in front of the goaltender, we always give up those type of goals. So we got to be better with that. We definitely got to be better with that. So real quick, though, back to wrestling. I think what, you know, MJF is doing is probably part of an act. But what I was going to say about Becky Lynch is I wouldn't mind seeing Becky Lynch cross over into AEW and join them. But she is one of the main, I'll give her that. She is one of the main attractions in WWE. She's got a great gimmick. And like I said, she reminds me of a female version of Conor McGregor. That is what she reminds me of. And she's good. I like, you know, her and also, what's the other wrestler? The one chick from Australia. I can't remember her name off the top. Why can't I remember her name? It'll come to me later. I'm pretty sure it will. But I cannot remember her name right now. Jeez. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Let's see. I think her name starts. Rhea Ripley. That's her name. I like her. She's tough. She's tough. So I don't see, you know, Vince McMahon letting go of her per se, because she does hold some value, you know, with WWE and them, you know, ratings wise and stuff like that. So I don't see them, you know, all getting rid of her or anything like that. They're not gonna let her go. But it's still a few over in WWE that I catch every now and then, and I do enjoy watching them wrestle. But for the most part, I'm an AEW guy. I've been an AEW guy forever. And I just haven't really liked the product that they have going on over there. I just don't. Probably because I don't like Vince McMahon, because I think Vince McMahon is, you know, he's a politic. So the way he, you know, plays, you know, with his people and certain wrestlers, and I don't really like it. But we got the TV on here. It is still 3-2, 8 minutes, and not worried, game one. But like I said, I would like for the Lightning to get one of these games here, because they're going to need one of these games to win the series. Just keep firing the puck at the freaking net, man. Somebody lost a stick. Go. But they've skated better since the end of the first. They've woken up, and come on, man, just make the pass. But this series is going to be tight. Rangers are a good team. They've been a good team for the majority part of the season, and they're going to give the Lightning a run. I think the Lightning will win this series, but it's going to be a close. It's going to be close, and I say 6 or 7 games. But they're going to have to steal one of these games to win this series. So I'll give updates to this game as it go on. But again, one thing I don't quite understand about the Lightning, and I've been a fan all my life. So if you know, Lightning fans are listening, maybe you guys can agree with me here that one thing I don't like is, and I watched other teams play the Lightning, and it's completely different. But the Lightning just kind of allow teams to skate into their zone without hitting them. And I think a lot of the times that hurts, you know, when you just allow a team to use their speed and just skate into your zone, and you try to just poke check all the time. Because if you miss that poke check, you know, you got a beeline, you know, right to your goaltender. And that I never understood. When, you know, Lightning a fast team, so when teams play us and we go, man, this puck is just bouncing all over the place. I don't like this. I don't like this. This puck is just bouncing everywhere, man. Like a basketball. But when teams play the Lightning, you see once the Lightning enter the zone, they start hitting them, dude. They start putting that body on them. They start putting that weight on them, you know, being physical with them, because you don't want a fast team to get a free lane at your goaltender. So we on the hand, we allow teams to just skate in, use their speed, and put Vazzy in this awkward position. And when the team has the puck in their zone and we're playing defense in front of Vazzy, we don't do enough to just knock these guys clear out of the area. Just knock them out, man. And they've been in this zone too long. This is when bad things happen. See? I just called it. They just let the Rangers just sit there and they can't clear the puck. They can't get possession. And they just sit there and just swing the puck around the boards, just knock it back and forth. And next thing you know, a goal gets scored. It happens all the time. If you watch hockey long enough, especially with this Lightning team, because it seems like it happens more. Because, again, we spend a lot of time just trying to poke away at it. And if you don't get that poke check, then they're just going to just stay in the zone. Guys get tired. They wade past their shifts. And then we get a goal scored on us. So it is 4-2. And to win this game now, we're going to need 5 goals in less than a period and a half. So they better wake up. They're going to lose this game. They probably will lose this game. But I'd rather take game one and have that one in the holster going back tied up, opposed to letting them take game one. Then they got the momentum, and we got to come out and get game two. Again, we got to get a game on the road to win this series. So I'd rather get that game early than to have to get that game later in the series. Because if we go into a situation where we're down 3-2 and we got to win 2 back-to-back, or we got to get 1-2 and win 1 game on the road, I feel like that's a little bit tougher to do than stealing one early. And then you clean sweeping at home and the series over with. But if you let them get 2 early, then you go home down 2-0 in the series. Now the pressure's on you. You got to get both of those games at home so you can go into game 5 2-2, opposed to you going into game 5 3-1, down 3-1. You got to win 3. You got to win 5, 6, and 7 to win the series. You don't want to be in that situation. You don't want to be in that situation, because if you in that situation, man, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. I'll be the first one to say it was a good run. It was a good run, but that's it. We're done. Stick a fork in them. We're done. But so, a lot of times, I feel like Vazzy is a great, he's one of the best, at least in the Lightning history. It's Vasilevskiy, Hobby Bullen. He's in that conversation. But I think, when you got a goaltender that good, you take a lot of what he did for granted. And you play a lot looser in front of him. But Rangers got momentum. I don't know, man. We got to get one of them goals back in this period before we go into the third period. And we have to score three in the third period. That is not something you want to have to do. But again, I had this feeling, you know, in the Toronto series where I said we're being outskated and we look a little slow. And this puck is just bouncing around like crazy, man. So I don't know the condition of the ice, but that puck is just kind of like it's bouncing. It's not sitting on that ice when they make those passes. So that's making it hard. I mean, they have the home ice advantage, so don't think for one second that they can doctor the ice to where the Lightning won't be able to use their speed. But that puck is bouncing around like crazy. So, welcome everybody who is watching on Bucks Life. Everybody that's tuning in on YouTube. Everybody on Twitch. If you're watching on the Rat Pack Sports Show page or, my personal page. Appreciate y'all, man. If you got any questions or anything you want to ask, Bucks related or anything, man, we got the chat here. You can type in your message in the chat, and I'll answer any questions that you may have or comments to anything that I'm talking about. So we should have we'll have William Graves here. He still hasn't responded. I'm telling you. This past Sunday, because we had a show, we do a Sunday show every now and then, maybe like once a month for, the off season. During the NFL season, we're on, every Sunday. And I think, everybody over at, Bucks Life, you guys appreciate those shows during the regular season, because that's all we do is talk football on those shows. It's really we started that show on Sundays and just for NFL specifically. That's the only reason we really started the Sunday shows. So I think it's, look at this dumb pass. We started the show to just talk football. We didn't want to wait until Wednesday to talk about the action on Sunday. So we did a show on Sundays, and the cool thing about the Sunday show is, you got Sunday night game. So we're on the air live doing the Sunday night game, and we're talking about the games that Sunday. The afternoon games, the 4 o'clock games, and it's a pretty good show. So, everybody on Bucks Life, man, y'all appreciate that and being able to interact with you guys and answer questions on the Bucks, wins, losses. Whatever the case may be, what is going on? Whatever the case may be, we'll get into it on Sundays. So whether it's a win or a loss, we're still very critical of the team. You have to be, right? You can't have a sports talk show and not be critical of your team. I think you owe it to the people that are listening to the show to be neutral. A lot of times we're, you know, almost too neutral to the point of people sometimes get mad. Because we talking down on our team. Or because we're, you know, being critical of their performance, being haters. Then they make comments like, well, go be a fan of that team and go be a fan of this team. And it's like, dude, I'm just, you know, we just telling it like it is. There's no hate. Don't need to be mad about it. I mean, we just being critical. That's the only way, you know, that's the only way we know how. So I think, you know, a lot of you guys appreciate it. You know, way back in the days, when I was a season ticket holder, you know, for the Bucks, man, I used to do post-game shows. And I'll do those shows right after the game. So I leave the stadium, and then, you know, I walk back to the car, and while I'm sitting, you know, while I'm sitting at the car, wait on the traffic to clear out, I'll sit there and be talking about the game and answering questions and doing all that. And that was pretty good. I enjoyed that. It'd be like 45 minutes, maybe an hour on the ride home. And I'll just, you know, answer questions. So, you know, we're probably almost likely, unless, you know, I go to a game, we're going to do some pregame. And we won't do the postgame only because we'll be doing the show later on that night. So we'll be able to, you know, go into that same depth. Post game wise, you know, late in the night when we have our, you know, NFL Sunday show. So, you know, it'll be me, you know, left field correspondent Carlton Cook. It'll be William Graves. Sometimes, you know, Nicholas Lane to call in, and then, you know, Boss Hawk, Sean Naylor is a part of that show. If you're a fantasy football head, we also do fantasy football stardom and sit-ems every week. We have a Rat Pack Sports Show fantasy football league that we've been doing every year for about the last six years that we invite everybody to get in. So a couple times we've had multiple leagues going because we had that many people that wanted to be a part of it. Last year we only had the one league, and then after that, you know, the year before we had two leagues and two 10 team leagues. You know, that's, you know, a pretty good number of people. We had a lot of fun doing that, so we'll do that again for everybody. We don't have no problem doing that. And, you know, as I said, you know, the season will be a good season. So, I'm going to tell you right now, when we get to the preseason, I'm not big in the preseason. I call it the Underwear Olympics. And especially now, they've shortened the preseason to 3 games, and they take away the 4th game. They barely hit. So it's really hard to gauge, you know, where your team going to be at by just watching the preseason. You know, you get an idea of your depth because you match it up with the team you're playing against. And if you, the two first teams are canceling each other out, and then when they go to the second and third team, you notice that every week the team is kind of pulling away, or you making a lot of mistakes, or it look like you just don't have no depth. More than likely, you don't have no depth, and you're going to struggle in the regular season if you have to go to those people. You know, you got to go and use those guys. You know, you just can't play your first 22 guys every game, all game. So those guys are going to be part of a rotation, and they have to be productive as a part of that rotation. And if they're not, then your depth is going to be tested against some of the other better teams that have a, you know, a lot more depth. So at the end of the day, you know, we're not that far away. We're in June now. You know, this really, June is kind of like the dead month, right? You know, teams have had their OTAs. Mini camps usually end in maybe like a week. I mean, OTAs are right now. So after OTAs, you had that few weeks of break between the end of OTAs. And then for the two teams that's playing in the Hall of Fame game, you know, they'll come to training camp mid-July. And then, you know, everybody else will start at the end of July. So we're about, oh, man, we're getting tired. We're about 2 months away from NFL training camp. You know, I'll get into it. Like I say, I'm not a big preseason person, but I do pay attention to it. I just don't get too high or too low about things. You know, I just don't. Because you only can tell so much in the preseason. Especially if you're a team that's got playoff aspirations or championship aspirations. You really can't judge your team off the preseason because, you know, most of the time you're not even taking the preseason serious. You know, that's just the way it is. So, that's, you know, that's pretty much where you at there. And then now with the shortened preseason and the Powder Puff schedule, nothing against Powder Puff. Sometimes I feel like, you know, Powder Puff football is a lot more physical than the way they play in training camp. And I played football, but I played in a time where, you know, even in high school, we were doing two-a-days, and we hit every single day. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, you know, they're just being safe and, you know, your head injuries and stuff like that. But, you know, if you're going to get a concussion, you're going to get one. Some people are just more susceptible to concussions than others. Some people play a whole career, and I know it's hard to believe they may not feel they suffer one single concussion. But I'm old school, so I knew a guy that led with his helmet every single time that he hit somebody. Now, he couldn't even play right now. They'll suspend him so fast. But he was a headhunter. That he was what we called a head hunter. Remember one day in practice, this man hit one of our teammates so hard with his helmet. He had one of them face masks where it was like maybe like that much space, like right around the eyes, like this. And he hit him so hard, he lay up with that face mask and he hit that man so hard, his face mask, when he got up off the ground, went from that wide to about this wide. He had to go get a whole new helmet. Everybody laughing at him. You know, all the coaches laughing at him. It was just, you know, just all part of the game. We're not there anymore. We are not there anymore. You know, same way, with the NBA, where now everything that looks like a hard foul, they gotta go to the TV monitors to review it to make a decision on if geez, I just lost my train of thought. Dude, I'm having a Brandon moment here. I literally just lost my train of thought in the middle of what I was saying. For the record, I didn't take many hard hits. I dished them out. So I'm not having no CTE problems here. I just forgot. Because I'm watching the game. I'm scrolling, the internet, reading stuff, and I'm talking at the same time. So sometimes between the three, I just get lost. And right in between thoughts, my mind just kind of go blank and I can't get it back. So, my apologies. So, it'll come back to me when I least expect it. Let me see here. Look at this fool here. I'm finna get William up. William is still asleep. All right, so, man, what this man doing? Man, get out of here. Yeah, so, I told you I got a lot of things going on over here, so. All right, so, yeah, but, that's how it was when I was in high school. Man, the game was a lot tougher, and it's not as tough. And, oh, there go the thought. I was talking about them going to the review for the, NBA, files. And, every time they do that, they start the game and go to the table, and then you go and you watch a replay. And you got these silly behind announcers, man. This is why I really, I can't deal with watching sports anymore. A lot of the times, because a lot of these announcers, they come from my era. You know, they played in the era that everybody absolutely loved basketball, the 80s, the 90s. You know what I'm saying? These are those dudes that are announcing games now. And, Kenny Smith, it ain't Barkley, but Kenny Smith, Mark Jackson, Van Gundy old school. So Van Gundy be just kind of like, kind of like I am. But When I listen to Mark Jackson on the broadcast, and it's a hard foul, and he's sitting there saying, "Oh, yeah, that is a flagrant. That is a flagrant too." And all the guy did, brush him across the face. Ain't no blood. Ain't nothing broken. These guys do a great job of acting, and they, you know, flopping and throwing themselves all over the place. And they go to the review. They come back. "Oh, yeah, that's a flagrant two." And I'm like, how in the world is that a flagrant two? Like, none of these dudes couldn't play street ball back in the days. Like, you couldn't even call your own fouls in street ball. Jokers would be looking at you like, "Man, there ain't no foul. I'm not checking the ball. That ain't no foul. Next thing you know, you about to fight on the court because the Joker ain't giving you your checkup for a foul." Now, the game ain't like that. These dogs made of paper machetes. That's what I'm going to start calling paper machetes. These jokers ain't cutting nothing. They ain't cutting nothing, man. Soft as cotton. All they do is flop, and that's the way the NFL going. Now, you can't be soft and play football because the sport literally involves getting your head bashed in, play after play. If you're on the defensive line, there's no way you could play on the defensive line or the offensive line. And like a lot of these so-called, I know football, I'm a fan, I've been watching it all my life, but yet most of y'all got the nerve to call these jokers soft. Football players, hockey players, there is no soft in them unless you play a cornerback position or a defensive back position and you scared to lay the hammer down on somebody when you got the opportunity. If I see you lower your head, or if I see you in the open field, coming up to make a tackle, and you drop your head and look down at the ground and whiff, you didn't do that by accident. You did that on purpose. You didn't want to make the tackle. You're not physical. Now I can call you soft. As a defender that don't want to tackle, why are you playing defense? And there's a lot of the time it's the corners. It's the corners. It's the safeties. You know, those are the prima donnas of the defensive side of the ball. You rarely gonna find a prima donna defensive lineman trenches. You gotta be hard. You gotta be hard nosed. You gotta be tough. Same as the linebacker. You shedding blocks. You got to shed blocks. You got to make tackles. You got to scrape the line of scrimmage. You got to do all this stuff. You got to guard line running backs. You got to guard slot receivers. And you got to come up and make tackles. There's no way. You can call a linebacker soft or a defensive lineman soft, but you can't call a defensive back soft. Because you see the way some of those guys tackling. Yeah, they don't want to hit. They don't want to hit. They want their paycheck, but they don't want to hit for it. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. So that's just the way it is. But we're at the top of the hour, so we're going to take our final break of the night right here. And let me get everything set up here. But yeah, we're going to take our final break of the show right now. And the Rangers just scored again. It's game over, man. I ain't even watching the TV. I just heard them. They falling apart, man. They falling apart. If this how the series going to be, don't even play the next three games. Five goals. They then there they go, man. I keep saying this. If you're a Lightning fan, I know y'all agree with me. And if you don't, I don't care. But these turnovers, I talked about them in the Toronto series. Last series, it wasn't so prevalent because it seemed like the Lightning had everything in control. But these middle-of-the-ice turnovers on these no-look passes that these dudes be trying to make, and it seemed like 70% of the time these passes end up being turnovers. So if 70% of the time you being fancy, you trying to make these no-look behind-the-back passes and they end up being turnovers, and then let's say out of those 70% of the time turnovers, 20% of the time they end up turning into goals because the other team scoring off the turnover, man, stop doing that. You know, it's just like I coach basketball, right? And the one pass that from day one, the one pass that I cannot stand, and I tell kids, don't let me see you make this pass, or you coming out of the game as soon as you make this pass, is the cross-court pass. Because everybody think, oh, that person open, and then when they throw the ball, you just got baited, the defense right on top of it. So, you know, I tell my players, hey, if you was making that play somewhere else, once you get here, forget about it. You're not making that pass. It's not a good play, especially if it's a long pass. It's you know, not a good play. It's a cross-court pass. And like I say, 70% of the time, it end up being a turnover. So, you know, why you keep making the same play? Explain that to me. What did you see? Why did you throw it? That's what I feel like watching the Lightning, man. Because they make these passes, and they literally are no-look passes. And they – I don't get it. What's going on? Somebody fighting? Oh, boy, here we go. So the goaltender was down on the ice. They don't stop play, but yeah, but it's the same thing, man. You don't make the cross court pass, and you see the Lightning all the time. They're skating, and then out of nowhere, they make this between the legs pass or this behind the backs pass, and ain't nobody there. So they end up turning the puck over in a situation where they had the momentum. They had the, odd man rush. And then they turn the puck over. Why? Why are you making that pass? Yeah, and it's a system thing. Because obviously, if it wasn't okay for them to do that, then they wouldn't do it as much as they do. But they do it all the time because they're a skilled team. So they try to finesse people with their skill. But the problem is, if you get a bigger team that can skate with you, you don't have that room anymore to use your skill. And that's what's going on, man. That is what's happening. But we're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. I'll get some more in the NHL. Obviously, the game is going on. And, you know, let's see if the Lightning can make a game of this with 17 minutes left down, 5-2. I'm pretty sure this game is over, but you never know. You really never know. So we'll see. But we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back on the other side. Hopefully we'll have William. Hopefully we'll have Boss Hall with us. And we'll get into some thoughts here. So with that being said, we'll be back.